Hello and greetings, brothers and sisters. My name is Matthew Monona, and I'm glad you tuned in to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. Along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and the operators of the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. You can find us in the Powell Shopping Center on Highway 11W in Church Hill. And we've opened up this car wash as a way of getting God's Word out into the public ear in a way that is a little bit non-traditional from the four walls of the church. Now, we are definitely not anti-church. We believe that the church is the greatest institution that God has created. It is vital for Christians to continue to go to church. We are a little bit anti what happens in church these days, because we have seen a major decrease in the amount of the Word of God being shared in our churches by and large. And we spent about 6 or 7 years in a wilderness time of our lives where we were able to visit a lot of churches, maybe 100 churches here in Tri-Cities and down in Knoxville area. And what we found was a church on every corner, but they were content with their traditional ways and their minimal exposition of God's Word. So we said, look, we don't need another church. We need more of the Word of God. And so thus the Wash and Word was born. And we give these sermons. You can hear them on WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. You can also come to the Wash and Word, put 107.1 FM anywhere in the parking lot area of the Wash and Word. And if you tune to 107.1 FM, we play these messages on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So the Word of God is always available to the public. All you got to do is come in and put on your radio to 107.1. If you have any questions or you want to hear some older messages, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. All the information about our business, about our ministry, you'll find right there on our website. And we encourage you to visit, share the messages, download them, and you can text them to people, the links, and let's do your part. Let's all do our part to get God's Word out there. Amen. All right, let's pick it up in chapter 11 and verse 1. We're in 1 Corinthians. Now, chapter 11 is one of those chapters where I'd say to myself, why do I do verse-by-verse Bible teaching? Because there are some parts in the Bible that I would just as soon skip. And unfortunately, that's what's going on in our churches today. But we can't skip stuff that's going to be difficult. Now, as we begin reading, you'll see what I'm talking about here. A lot of this, and I'll try to be humorous about what I can, but we're going to be talking about the differences between men and women. You know, and the roles that men play in marriage and the roles that women play and, you know, stuff like that. Those differences between men and women, probably best left to stand-up comics. But in the verses that we're going to cover over the next couple of messages, there's bound to be some disagreement among God's people. So if you plan on listening over the next few weeks or a few days, let's just start off by saying, can we first just agree to disagree in advance? Because there may be some stuff here that you might not agree with the way I present it. But I tell you this, unless I slander the name of God or I misinterpret any major theological doctrine like the virgin birth or the sinless life or the immaculate conception, the resurrection, the second coming, or the deity of Christ, those types of things, let's agree to say amen to the stuff that can go either way. And so for some of us, this is going to be tough teaching coming up here, but this scripture that we're about to read has become the battlefield of many churches, marriages, and people in general. Well, what are you getting at, handsome radio preacher? That's me, by the way. It deals with the question, and I'll title this message, Are Women Really Fully Human? Okay, that's kind of a joke. Here's the real title. Male Headship as it Pertains to a Woman's Subjugation. And that doesn't sound any better, though, does it? That's what I'm saying. Like, this is going to be a little bit difficult. And in fact, if those two titles offended you, Are women really fully human, or male headship as it pertains to a woman's subjugation? If those titles are offensive, then we could just call it, should women wear hats in church? You see, this is where the scripture's heading. Now, this message is going to be geared towards the, let's call it the women's liberation movement. I remember a time when I was counseling, and I asked somebody if the role of women in society and the women's lib movement and the equal rights and all that stuff, has it played a part in the demise of the God-ordained order of men and women as it pertains to marriage or even in the church? And I venture to say that it has. It has. I believe that the women's lib movement and the all of this equal rights stuff and the roles that women play are equal to a man's role, it has damaged the God-given role of men and women as it pertains to marriage and as it pertains to church. We're off to a good start, aren't we? But listen, I also believe firmly that part of that movement is the fault of men. You see, men, by and large, a lot of them have dropped the ball. You see, they have failed to pick up the role that God has called them into. And because women give birth, they have an instinct that men will never know. That motherly instinct to protect their children is something that a man will never be able to understand fully, can never associate with. And if a man doesn't pick up the ball and lead their family or lead the roles in the churches the way God had ordained it, women, because of that urge to protect their children, will pick up the ball and run with it. And so because men have dropped the ball and have not taken their rightful place as the headship of the family under the headship of the Lord, women have had to kind of do it. And this has led to the balance in the shift of the roles of men and women as it pertains to the church and even in marriage. You see, friends, God created women to be submissive. He created them. He said, I will make you a helpmeet. He created women to be helpers, to come under us but support us. But if a man will not take their role where they belong, then God has also put something in them that they will take the reins. They will be resourceful. They will be the provider. They will be the protector. It's an imbalance, and it will never be a proper relationship if those roles get reversed. But this is how God has created women originally to be. I heard a cute joke one time. It says there were two lines of husbands in heaven. One for the dominant husbands and one for the passive submissive husbands. Now the submissive husband's line extended almost out of sight. And there was one man in the dominant husband's line. He was small and timid, and he appeared anything but a dominant husband. And when the angel inquired as to why he was in this line, he said, "My wife told me to stand here." Friends, that is a problem that we have had in the church and in our marriages for the last 40 or 50 years. And let's get into our scriptures today. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Paul started off, he said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." That just sets the tone right there. And in verse 2, he says, "I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I passed them on to you." Now, let's stop right there for a minute, because I want to talk about tradition for a moment or two. You see, there's nothing wrong with tradition, usually. There's nothing wrong with passing on the teachings that were given to you from the generation past. As long as those teachings of that generation past line up with the Word of God. And many of the traditions that are traditionally passed on, they become traditions because they were good and they were taken from the Bible and they worked in the family unit and relationship. So thus they were carried on and passed down from generation to generation. But the devil also works hard in disrupting those traditions. And so bad traditions, which is a tool of the enemy, are also sometimes passed down. We might call them superstitions or the things like or karma or things of that nature. You know, some traditions just kind of happen. In 1903, the Russian Tsar noticed a sentry posted for no apparent reason on the Kremlin grounds. And upon inquiry, he discovered that in 1776, Catherine the Great found there the first flower of spring. "Post a sentry here," she commanded, "so that no one will trample the first flower under their foot." And 200 years later, they're still posting a guard there at the Kremlin. And it just goes to show you that some traditions are just traditions for tradition's sake. You know, again, tradition is obviously a good thing. Paul states that as much. He says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything, for holding on to the teachings just as I pass them down to you." But again, tradition can also become a bad thing. Think of it this way. The word legal is used to define right and wrong, right? It's used to keep order and peace. But the word legalism, which is a strict adherence or the principle of strict adherence to a law, is not exactly something we want to attach ourselves to. The doctrine that salvation is gained through good works is legalism. So the word legal is a good thing that helps define and keep order, but the word legalism isn't. And if you pass these things down, there isn't much difference between the two words. So the same thing holds true with the word tradition. Tradition is the living faith of those who have now passed on. But traditionalism is the dead faith of those who are still living. Let me say that again. Tradition is the living faith of those who are now dead. But traditionalism is the dead faith of those who are still living. And see, this is one of the problems with our present-day church. We have passed down the tradition, and it has simply become traditionalism. Dead faith, dead works. We don't even know half the times why we do the things we do in the church in the order that we do them. We just do them because that's how we've always done them. And so Paul does both correct and commend the tradition that he passed down here. And I know I spoke a lot about the roles of women and men and how they pertain to each other in marriage and in church in the beginning of this message. And we will get to that. You'll have to tune in tomorrow to get to that part of it. But Paul is setting the stage, so to speak. And he's going to deal with the tradition of male headship. That is the male headship that was not established in the Old Testament law. He's doing away with that in a sense, but he's going to establish and talk about the male headship as New Testament grace explains it. You know, many people think that Jesus came to put his foot on women, but he came to liberate women. He was the first women's liberation movement advocate. He came to level the playing field. He came to set the order straight, to do away with the traditionalism. And that's why Paul is going to connect the Lord's Supper with what he's about to talk about in terms of the roles that men and women play. And so we'll pick that up in verse 3 when we get back tomorrow. Again, I want to welcome you to join me at the Abundant Life Fellowship on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. That's where I do my live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. So we encourage you to come out there on Sunday nights. Come by the Wash and Word. Tune to 107.1 FM. If you're anywhere in the area or in the parking lot, you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And finally, don't forget to come by and get your car washed. This is how we support this ministry. We earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry going. Well, hope these messages are blessing you, and have a great day.